The Ryan Tubridy Show on RTE Radio 1 with Elavon Merchant Services. Growing your business is easy peasy with us by your side.
Good morning all, this is Ryan Tubridy with you. It's Monday morning at 4 minutes past nine. This is the 16th of May, 2022. We're here till 10 a.m. You can text us on 51551 and email ryan@rte.ie. We have so much to discuss today, so let's get down to business and defeat the Hun. I'll tell you what, we got so much, so many emails and texts, really, about a topic we touched on briefly last week about the subject of what we call living grief, which is parents or grandparents living grief, whereby people discuss feelings of loss as they might have a relative, a son, a daughter, a sister, brother, disappeared from their lives since meeting and marrying a partner or somebody in their life, and they're gone, you know, and there's no contact maybe with grandchildren as a result, and grandnieces, nephews, you know, everyone gets affected by the disappearance of a relative off the face of the cliff of the earth. They're gone, and they're living. That's what makes it all the more peculiar. They could be in the same country, they could be in the same town, they could be up the road, but they've just vanished into contact and social thin air. It's a bizarre place to be, but some people have that. It's like, you know, I mean, to be glib for a moment, it's like hungry hippos. They just go, oh, gone, gotcha. And you're the ball. You've gone into the bowels of the system of this other person's life, and you have no comeback. So that's what we're going to talk about a little bit this morning. I'll give you some of the reaction, as I promised I would, and I'll do that in the next few minutes. But let's reflect on what's been happening. Hopefully you had a beautiful weekend. I mean, the RTE.ie was saying today that yesterday was the warmest day of the year so far, which I'm sure was great if you were in a warm part of the country. I don't think I was. A lot of mist and fog around my parts and of the world. And where, according to Met Aaron, one weather station reached a temperature of 20.9 degrees Celsius. We're talking really about Mount Dillon in Roscommon. Hot, hot, hot. Equally in Shannon Airport and Belmullet and in Athenry. So all good weather around the place, which is beautiful. I noticed a lot of the papers, particularly online, like to do the kind of slightly clickbaity headline, which goes, Met Aaron predicting crazy weather. And you're going, oh. And the clickbait in you going, do I take the bait? Which of course I do. That's what's there for. It's a clever headline. And you go, oh, really? What crazy weather is it? And you click on it and it goes, it could be raining today and then it could be very hot tomorrow. Or strike that in reverse. It could be really hot today, but it could be really rainy tomorrow. So that's become a thing. That's a thing now. Speaking of Roscommon, there was a memorial I was watching on the news last night, Gail Conway writing about it on RTE.ie this morning, for the National Famine Commemoration. And it's one of, I know it sounds like a strange thing, my favourite museums, but certainly one of the most remarkable places to visit is Strokestown and the Famine Museum there. And it's been given an overhaul. So even more reason for all of us, including myself, to visit. I might put it on my list of school tours when the Late Late Show finishes, and we've got two more and then we're done. And that allows me the freedom to wander around the country at will and visit places I'm dying to go to see. Ryan@rte.ie if you think what you've got might be of interest. And I'll wander down after the show some morning and say hello to you all and learn, which I love doing. And then share it with everyone else, of course. And that's what happened last year when I went to Shackleton in Nathai, and that was fascinating, and that's really stayed with me, and other places. But back to the famine commemoration, Micheál Martin was talking at that. No more devastating event in Irish history than the famine, which is a true story. And if you've got kids and if you're interested in the history and if you're interested in the country, may I highly, 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 highly recommend a trip to the Strokestown Famine Museum. It is quite remarkable. And important. And in fact, I was listening to the match. I don't have the channels relevant to watch the Leinster-Toulouse match on Saturday, but I was listening to it, which was, there's nothing wrong with that when you've got Michael Corcoran doing the job, which he does with incredible aplomb. Actually, I was listening to him at one point going, how is he doing this? Like, that is, he's telling us everything, every name. He said himself, the numbers on the back of the Toulouse players were quite hard to see. So this is going to be a long day. And but he did it, as he always does, with Donal Lennon sitting beside him doing a cracking job. Now, why did I mention that? Because it was, where was I going? I was talking about something completely left my mind. I'll come back to you. I'm not getting younger, you see, in the memories tent. The head is like a cauldron of crazy. But there was a point to that story, but unfortunately it has left the building, not unlike Elvis himself. So we'll see. Nearly 6,000 Ukrainian children and teenagers have been enrolled in schools across the country, according to journal.ie. That is an enormous number of young people who, up until a couple of months ago, packed their bags, put the lunchbox in, and skipped down the road in Kharkiv and Mariupol and Kyiv and thought, school's boring. My parents are annoying. And now I've got to go and spend the day looking at this teacher. Fast forward, chaos and cruelty and displacement. And now they're fathers are most likely still fighting back in Ukraine, and now they're in the middle of what must be like another planet, arriving in somewhere beautiful like Kharkiv or somewhere beautiful, wherever it might be. It could be Uachtaráid, it could be Dublin, anywhere, but it's not home. What a strange place. They're missing their fathers and their grandparents maybe, and then the normality of life, and here they are, nearly 6,000 young children in different parts of the country. And they're trying to keep them all organised with regional education and language teams put in place. But I hope they're okay, is what I'm trying to say. And I hope that they're surviving. It's not easy being young anyway. And then you add the chaos of war and displacement. And hopefully they're getting that beautiful Irish welcome all over the country. Anytime I've heard teachers on the radio talking about the youngsters coming into Ireland, there's a lovely sense of welcome and endeavour to make it work. Because it's hard. It's hard for the teachers and it's hard for the kids. So everyone seems to be pulling together. So good luck with all of that. And we're going to talk a bit about that later on in terms of this amazing book that these people have put together to try and encourage children to learn English, to learn Ukrainian. And we can all do our little bit. Like sometimes if you want to learn French, buy a children's book, you know, just and see if it's a language that works for you. Like the Osborne used to do great things. Like, want to learn the basics of ancient Greece, buy an Osborne book and say, right, okay, that's pretty handy. I think I'll go for it and then move on up after that. Never be ashamed. Don't think that. It doesn't matter what you're reading. If you're reading the back of a beer mat, you're reading. You know, if you're reading a comic, there's no snobbery. Snobbery in with regards to what people are reading is among the worst. Among the worst. Oh, you're reading that, aren't you? Yes, I am. And I'm really enjoying it. And I'm enjoying your pain at me reading it because I bet you really want to read it too. Boyzone star Keith Duffy has said he doesn't socialise in Dublin anymore due to the negative publicity both he and fellow Boys Life singer Brian McFadden receive when they get home. There you go. Sorry to hear that. He said that himself and Brian are always on the receiving end of bad press. We don't do interviews here. That's our choice. We just wanted a peaceful life. We love what we do. We're doing really well in the UK. And they champion us over there. And they bring out the best of us. And you come over here, and whether it's radio DJs or certain journalists, they write in derogatory terms about us. They're just negative. I've never had a negative experience with Keith, but he's obviously feeling it. And he says it really is just begrudging and people don't listen and they insult. And he said, I rarely socialise in Dublin because when I go out, you don't know if someone's going to buy you a pint or give you a dig, which is, yeah, I'm sorry to hear that because it's he's a good guy and always comes across very well and very happy. So obviously that's changed a little bit, but I wish him well today. Eurovision winner. Oh, yeah, of course, Ukraine won the Eurovision Song Contest on Saturday night. The poor UK, the United Kingdom, had done very well, I think, in the juries, and then when it came to the people, they said, no, there's only one winner in this thing, and they gave it to Ukraine, which I was kind of quite happy about, to be honest with you. And the front man from the Kalush Orchestra, that's the name of the band that won it, there's amazing pictures of him today. So he's in Turin, and he's kissing his girlfriend goodbye, and then he gets in a taxi to get to the airport to fly back to fight for his country in uniform on the front line. I mean, that is something I just can't fathom it. But that's sure enough. His name is Oleg, it looks like Syuk, frontman of the rap group. Kissed his girlfriend, Alexandra, outside the hotel. And then straight off, wearing his signature pink hat, carrying a rucksack. His belongings were placed into a taxi and then heading to the airport. And he's off. And last night, President Zelensky of Ukraine vowed to hold Eurovision Mariupol next year. I mean, that is optimism. Unbridled optimism, I'd be surprised. But I see that Spain, the country that finished third, have offered to host it out of the goodness of their hearts, which I think is very generous. And so it'll happen, but wouldn't it be lovely if it happened in Ukraine? But I have a feeling that's maybe a little ambition too far. Tom Parker, the poor fellow who died from The Wanted, is having his memoir posthumously released. And he says in an excerpt from it that he says, "I've never publicly said this before, and he'll probably be mad that I'm doing it now, but Ed Sheeran helped out with my medical bills." Isn't that very decent of him? And when I was seeking other treatment options and having private immunotherapy, he didn't need to do that. But my wife Kelsey and I are grateful to him for his support, and it meant the world, which is a very thoughtful thing. In Switzerland, they pretty much vote to ask, do you want to cross the road tomorrow or not? It's direct democracy. This is how it works. Do you want more birds in the sky or less? Well, we'll have a vote on Sunday and we'll decide exactly on how many birds you're going to have. And Swiss voters yesterday backed a very interesting proposal, all jokes aside, which makes streaming services like Netflix, Amazon and Disney, they are forced now, because of this, the people of Switzerland have voted this in. It's forced these streaming services to invest some of their revenues generated in Switzerland into domestic filmmaking. Now, that's a good deal. That makes great sense. They are making so much money from you and from me and from citizens in the likes of Zurich and Bern and Geneva. And obviously, ultimately, they're saying, well, can we have a little bit back? Like, it's got to be a bit of give and take. And actually, 58% of the voters backed the proposal. But it's not that they're looking for that much. It now seems in the binding referendum, it's called the Lex Netflix. Lovely combination of basically Latin and the future and the present. International streaming services must invest 4%, which is quite a lot of money in that world. 4% of the revenue they make in Switzerland must go into local film production. Hear, hear. And then the investments can take the form of buying locally made shows, making programmes themselves, or go into an investment fund. And Netflix said, yep, we respect the result, fair play, and would work with the government towards implementing the regulation. So that's great. Amazon declined to comment. Disney didn't respond. But there's a similar law that was passed in Portugal where they're giving 1%. So the Swiss are ahead of the game. Sure enough, Denmark is considering a levy. Spain is due to introduce one too. And dare I say it, we shouldn't be far behind them. Melania Trump gave an interview to shock horror Fox News, and she said, I think we achieved a lot in 4 years of the Trump administration. And when asked, do you see yourself living in the White House again? She said, never say never. I think they'll be there, lads. I think they're going to make it. And our friends in Galway, in Kenny's bookshop, which we love, found an amazing discovery. There was a cover of a book was removed, and they found two solid gold coins worth about €5,000, and they were in the spine of a prayer book. And they made the discovery when the archivist Sarah Gallagher was cataloguing newly acquired books from a diocesan library, and the coins are thought to be of Mexican origin, found by chance. It's hard to know what the reason for hiding them there was, but Mexico was a very difficult place to be a Catholic priest in the early to mid 20th century, says Thomas Kenny. And it's entirely possible that they were in case a quick escape was needed. Imagine a priest back in the day trying to get his coins in the spine of the book so that just in case the knock came on the door and he had to get the hell away. But that is a great little story there from Golliff. Okay, great idea on Netflix as a text, having to invest in where they sell. Could we get the Premier League to invest in Irish football, please? What an excellent, excellent suggestion there. Thank you for that. 51551, I wouldn't be the biggest Eurovision fan, says Marie, but seeing Europe standing behind Ukraine on Saturday was amazing. I shed a tear. I hope this brings even the tiniest bit of joy to the people of Ukraine in this awful time. Europe and the world stands with you. And yeah, it's nice to remember that and to see how important it is to, I suppose, just besides all the crazy of the Eurovision, actually there's a point to it all, and that music can matter very much so. I have plenty more to say on other things, so I'll do that in a couple of minutes' time. But one text on the commemoration said it was such a lovely event yesterday in our beautiful Strokestown Park. The newly recreated museum will be opening in June. Oh, thank you for that. From what we're seeing, it's going to be a great tribute and the place to visit for an in-depth look at our famine history. Okay, thank you for that. Lots to talk about this morning. 51551 is the text number. You can email ryan@rte.ie. We are at 9:20, open for business. Fast Love from George Michael at 9:25. Good morning, Ryan. Good morning to you. 51551. I'm thinking about Saoirse Ruan and her family all weekend. They'll be in my prayers tomorrow especially. There's a home here in Dublin. If they or any of their family need somewhere to stay at any time, they're welcome. Myself and my husband are retired. Our two girls have moved on and we'd welcome them any time. I feel for them all. I wish there was more I could do. And you're talking about the Saoirse Ruan, very special, wise, important child who was on the Late Late Show with us on Friday, having been on the Toy Show with us a couple of years ago. And she was on with her mum and dad, who, as we now know from an Instagram post by Roseanne last night, had just come from a very, very, very difficult appointment at the hospital. But we had a promise, and Saoirse wanted to come and say hello, and I was dying to see her. And we spent 2 years laughing with each other about someday we'll have a hug and someday we'll get there. And sure enough, we did on Friday, and it was unlike pretty much anything I've experienced in all the years I've been presenting the Late Late Show, because she's a very, very, as I say, special and important young person. And we knew that there was a lot going on in her life at that moment and in her family's life at that moment. And it's all very apparent today because Roseanne was writing about, she said, while in Dublin, we were asked to attend a meeting, excuse me, with our team on Friday afternoon. And we didn't know what we were going to learn, but we were hopeful we'd be one step closer to a plan. And we travelled to Crumlin, but attended this meeting without Saoirse at her request. It was very emotional, hugely intense, hanging on every word we were hearing. And they parted the information they had, came to the Late Late Show. We had a very beautiful few hours, to be honest with you, off air and on. It was very emotional. It was very authentic and sincere and difficult, particularly for the Ruans. And if you saw it, you'll have known that Roseanne and Ollie were sitting there. Good God, what was going through their minds. But yet Saoirse, shone as she does. They even told the story that they were walking down Grafton Street the day before, and Saoirse had said, they're raising money for Ukraine over there, and give me some money from my pocket money or her savings. And she asked for 30 euro. I said, what are you doing giving money to? That's a lot of money. I mean, you're nice. That's lovely. It's a lot of money for passing by, for the hat, as it were. And she said, they need it more than I do. 10 years old. That's what you're dealing with here. But after the show, Roseanne says, we travel back to the hotel in complete silence with Saoirse and repart what we had learned a few hours previous ahead of her special appearance on the Late Late. And then we had a wonderful night. And most importantly, Saoirse felt so very special. And then she went on to say, as a result of our meeting on Friday, Saoirse is to have surgery to remove her tumour this coming Tuesday. That's tomorrow. And she says, the tears rolled down our cheeks as we sat and listened to the risks involved, but we have faith in our team and we leave them now to take care of our very special girl. This is, to us, a major surgery, so we're very frightened. And this is to Saoirse, ultimately the fight of her life. And we ask you, she says to everybody, to please keep Saoirse in your hearts as we go forward now and take this first step in a long road to keep her where she truly belongs, here with us. And I'm sharing that with you because they, I think really the Rwandans believe in the power of us. Good thoughts, good vibes, kindness, and a wind in the sails, essentially. So tomorrow, when that operation is happening, we can't do anything really other than hope and do that together and send all the love imaginable to the Rwandans today and tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow. Okay. Now, let me talk a bit about this idea of somebody in your family going missing, but actually you know where they are. Does that make sense? Here's a flavour of some of the correspondence that came in on this subject. I heard the letter you read last week and I can fully empathise with the parents. You see, a couple of our adult children have not been in contact with my husband and I for the past few years. They too have coercive partners. We don't receive Christmas, birthday or Father's or Mother's Day cards. And Mother's Day is the worst day of the year for me. We have grandchildren and are denied access to them. Our adult children are highly educated people whose talents we encouraged to the best of our ability. We have a situation where the children are denied access to their grandparents and the grandparents are denied access to their grandchildren. We are senior citizens and this has reflected badly over the years on our health. I hope the writer of Living Grief, as the email was entitled, receives some consolation from this letter. At least they know they're not alone. Another says, we also have this situation in my family. Please tell your listener to try to keep in contact in any way possible. Even a daily hello, and just keep reminding him, in this case, that you love him. Eventually, her son will realise that he is loved and misses his family. The key is to keep the lines of communication open so the door is always open for them to come back. Another says, we have grandchildren we don't see. We call it a living hell rather than a living grief. Our son was a lovely person before he met his wife. She totally ignored us at their wedding. On one occasion, I met her mum in the shops and I offered to mind the children so my son's wife could go shopping or meet friends for coffee. Her mum said, you have to watch yourself with her. That's what she does. So we know it's not just us. Sometimes, Ryan, I'm in the shops and I see children and wonder if they're our grandchildren. And it's heartbreaking. They don't live very far away. I would love to wake up and realise it was all just a nightmare. Kind regards, Nana and Granda. Ryan, my heart aches for your listener and their family. My husband and I are in a similar situation with our son and only child. He started a relationship with a woman years ago and since then we have very little contact despite the fact that they live nearby. I think a lot more people suffer emotionally from these situations than people think. Another, they really came in quite the wave. My family are going through the same situation as your listener. Our brother is in a relationship like that. And we've not seen his children for years. And it seems that his whole family are all under the control of his wife. Another says, I've been trying to find a support group for parents whose son or daughter is the victim of a coercive controlling partner, but without success. I think a support group would be a great help in a situation where the parents and siblings feel completely hopeless and helpless. Maybe some of your listeners know of one. And I'll go one more. To Ryan at RTE.ie. Ryan, I feel for that family and their son. It takes time and it's important to just be there. I left a coercive control relationship after many years together and I'm still in therapy and figuring out how to feel safe. I've no doubt these coercive controlling people do horrendous damage. They take away your freedom and your sense of self. And the strange thing is that the further I'm away from that relationship, the more I see it, it's like walking away from a car crash, seeing the wreckage and thinking, how did I survive that? I think it's miraculous I'm still here and learning how to live again with my own career and my own place. I always think we should be kind to everyone, as you never know what's going on in their life. I didn't tell anyone at the time what was going on, but I am sending much love to anyone and everyone who experiences this. So that's just a taste of what came in. And it's funny, in those, it was peculiar in those situations whereby I think it is a perfect example of that sense that you're not on your own That happens a lot. So thank you to everyone who took the time to put those emails together and send them in. And you're all welcome to do so. Again, 51551, our email, ryan@rte.ie.
The Ryan Tubridy Show on RTE Radio 1 with Elavon Merchant Services. Growing your business is easy peasy with us by your side.
Yes, for your school tours, yes. Have you visited Erris in County Mayo? I don't think so. It was a piece of heaven at the weekend, says Anne Finnegan. And you can go to Termancara, Famine Graves and Blacksod Lighthouse and just visit all these places, not to mention out of this world beaches. Thank you for that. I will definitely put it on my list. An email said, Ryan, I'm fortunate to have some extra holiday time and I'm trying to persuade my teenage daughter to accompany me. Oh, good luck with that. I'm her deeply embarrassing dad. Yes. Okay, you've got a soul brother here. I'm on a round trip. You want to go on a round trip around Ireland? Okay, this is good. She's been through a lot this year and is trying to deal with some bullying and general nastiness from her supposed friends. It can happen, okay? She keeps asking me why she's not good enough for them. Oh, no. And why she doesn't have a person that's hers. Okay. It's heartbreaking. It makes me furious and heartbroken and helpless all at once. Oh, Lord. Hence the road trip. I want to take her away from it all, but not make her feel mortified at the same time. I had planned on just hitting the road and seeing where we ended up. And then, when I heard you mention the old mining town in West Cork, it made me think there may be more of these hidden gems worth exploring, and what better way to find them than crowdsourcing on The Tubridy Show. Hopefully I can persuade her to go. I really appreciate your time in reading this. And if you do mention this, then don't mention mine. Okay, this is an interesting conundrum, because you're a great dad. There's no question about it. And she sounds like a beautiful young person, your daughter. So that's good. They are the key ingredients in this cake. Now, as to how the rest of it is put together is key. You're doing all the right thing. A road trip with a teenager is the answer. So you're banging the right drum, because when you're dealing with kids, when they're at a certain age or a certain point in their life, if you're driving in a car and they're sitting beside you, you're looking straight ahead. So you're not looking at each other with expectation going, well, why aren't you talking to me? Just let the road take you where it goes. And then the other key ingredient to this, she's a teenager. She likes music. You now have to trade music on the drive. Have you heard this one? No. Will you tell me? Give me one of yours. Okay, it's awful. No, it's not. Suddenly you're talking about common ground and uncommon ground. They say, did you know that this song was originally a bit of that song and that song was a bit of that song and therefore that's... Now you're into just a different world that isn't talking about her and school and bullying and pressure. You're actually talking about music and joyful things at your own pace. And again, don't force it. Don't sit down and say, no, I need to. I'm only telling you because I think that all of these things, well, a bit of experience in life in that regard, and you just have to try your heart out. I'm not going to tell you it's a success or not, but it's worth it. It's worth a go. But definitely go for the road trip. Now, does she want to go and see a mine in Cork? Think about that. You know, there might be, and you know, just tread carefully as to where you're going to go and what she might want to do. She could be going down a mine going, you're kidding me. So go to somewhere quite interesting. Like, that might be a little, that might have plenty of things for you to talk about. Like the famine memorial. I know you might say, no, come on, I'm not going to the famine. No, but it's just so interesting and it's such a broad sweep. The mine might be a bit limited. Like, I'm dying to see the mine, but like, I'm pushing 50 and I'm a guy and I'm a history guy. And, you know, she's a teenager going, no mines, no. So the famine thing would be brilliant. Of course, I'm going to tell you to go down to the Kennedy homestead because it's a bit of glamour there. It's up the road. You know, it's a farmyard. Like, there's loads in it. It's kind of interactive. Have a coffee in New Ross. You know, there's statues. It's kind of interesting. And there's cake, you know. Always cake, always with the cake. Also, by the way, add to this. Sorry, I'm going on a bit here, but a story of my life. Hot chocolate. Hot chocolate is one of the greatest panaceas of all time. Not pills, if you can help it. And not, you know, hot chocolate, you'd be surprised at the power of a good hot chocolate for a teenager. Okay? And then later on, it turns into a decent cup of tea or a quality coffee. Hot coffee. Anyway, I'm dying to hear how you get on, so let us know. I kind of want to go on the road trip with this man and his and his daughter, in the sense that, in a virtual sense, obviously. So keep us posted. We have your details. Because I can tell you something. You're not the only parent, and by parent I mean father or mother, or indeed auntie or uncle, who really wants to develop a slightly better relationship with their kid because they're at a certain age and you're going, what happened to my baby? And it's not the baby. They're growing up. It's not easy. Not easy on them, not easy on you, but you've got, I love what you're doing. You're doing the right thing. Now, I see my friends at Tig Lynn are organising, of all things, a circus. Spectacular, which is happening on Thursday. I want to mention because they do such tremendous work. And this is a nice way, you haven't been to a circus for a long time, this is a nice way to get involved and donate along the way with the Gavin Glynn Foundation benefiting as well. That's Thursday, this Thursday, 19th of May, at 7 o'clock in Belmont Domain, which is in Wingate Greystones, belmontdomain.ie for details. And it'll be a full circus, flying trapeze, jaw-dropping acrobats, clowns. There'll be Keela, Cormac Brannock and special guests, and Cian O'Melia from Carrageen will be there. Surprise ringmaster, God help us. No doubt suspended from the sky, but that, it sounds great fun. Great big circus happening on Thursday. So go along to that if you're in the area, and it would make a lot of difference for a great organisation. So good luck to everybody on that. Another option for the books would be if they were given out at the airport, Dublin Airport. Yeah, that's a nice idea, but they need to get them printed first. Regarding the dad and daughter road trip, I suggest surfing for the dad and daughter trip anywhere on the West Coast, or maybe a comedy show. It's a good idea. And then Claire says, BFFs, best friends forever, are the bane of my life. I totally identify with that dad on his road trip mission. Why? Now, I'm not trying to be disingenuous here, but BFFs is best friends forever. You saying that that people do this thing where we're best friends forever and actually it's destructive and mean and toxic. Is that what it is? Yeah, okay. I hate that. Dear Ryan, yes. What about Newbridge Museum? If she's into fashion, jewellery and so on, that's a great idea. Lahinch, County Clare, Inch, County Kerry, Ross's Point, Sligo for surfing, the Titanic Museums in either Cove or Belfast, Wide Atlantic Way, Cliffs of Moher, Alloway Cave, especially when they turn out the lights out. That sounds great. That's a great from a sympathetic parent. They're really good suggestions, so let's go for it. Thank you indeed for that at 6 minutes to 10 o'clock.
The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1.
There's a beautiful statue of Roger Casement now in Dunleary. Mentioned a few times, posted a couple of pictures on Instagram. And then I've talked about, then Deirdre Black is the Dunleary Rathdown Heritage Officer, sent me this lovely booklet about the statue and says, turn to page 32, you might find it of interest. It's a letter from Roger Casement in the Irish Independent on the 18th of April, 1914. Where he talks about visiting parts of Connemara because they were hoping that people might raise some funds to help feed the children before they go to school and so on. And if I head down to paragraph 4, it says, the result of my journey, says Roger Casement, so far as Carrow School is concerned, was most encouraging. There is a complete transformation has been wrought since the daily meal was introduced in September last. The excellent schoolmistress, Mrs. Tuberty, it's true, presides each midday over one of the happiest schools in Ireland. The children are bright and fresh-skinned and clear-eyed, with rosy cheeks and happy smiles. Not only are they physically better, but they are mentally improved, and confidence and an air of friendship have taken the place of the former dull and listless disregard that met the visitors' eyes. And that is, yeah, indeed, my great-grandmother, who was the schoolmistress in Carrow, along with her husband, who was the schoolmaster of the local school, which I discovered on the Who Do You Think You Are, but the connection with Casement is remarkable. As I look at his statue now, I'll be thinking of her. Jane Tuberty was her name, and it's a lovely connection, and again, must have been an innate appreciation for teachers in my heart. It stretches back to the beautiful stone walls of Caharua in Connemara, so there you are. So thank you for sending that in, and that booklet, beautiful booklet by Angus Mitchell. I'm sure it's available in the Lexicon Library there in Dunleary for passing through. And now a lot coming in, listening to talk about your school trips you want to do. Annette says, have a look at The Darkness Echoing by Gillian O'Brien. Oh, we not only did we look at it, we had Gillian in studio and we talked about it. And it's a great idea because, as you say, you interviewed Gillian when the book was launched. Go to Strokestown. In fact, bring the book with you. Travel around the country and pick up lots of interesting facts as you dip into the pages of the book. That's a really good idea because Gillian has great eye for interesting aspects of Irish history you mightn't have read about in school. It's called The Darkness Echoing for anyone who's interested in it by Gillian O'Brien. Highly, highly recommended. That's it. Deirdre O'Sullivan, well done. I remember I lost my train of thought at the beginning of the programme going, what was I going to say there? It was the commentary on Saturday and the minute's silence, for the victims of the Irish famine. That's it. Deirdre says, I listened to the commentary on Saturday, wondered what was behind the moment's silence before the match for those who died during the Great Hunger. There was no explanation as to why, and maybe this is what you were going to talk about when you lost your train of thought. Welcome to my world. You've started to know me like better than I know myself sometimes. Like, no, you didn't mean that. What you meant to say was that. And no, you don't like that. Don't give him the tea. It's too much milk in his tea. Like that is hilarious. Thank you for that. Dad and daughter try horse riding. That might be something. Teenagers chats are a great suggestion. And now think about the foundation of the bond I have with my dad, says Alice, which is lovely. We've got to say goodbye, though. Claire Byrne standing by. Have a wonderful day. We'll see you tomorrow. Thank you for listening.
The Ryan Tuberty Show. Listen back on the RTE Radio Player.